Well, since we're in Communion Sunday, it's always my habit to take us away from Ephesians and develop some thought about communion. And I would like, if you would, to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Starting at verse 17. And I'm not going to spend too much time here. I want to set forth a big thought and then tease out its development. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old is gone, new things have come. Now why is that? Because of verse 18. All these things are from God that Christ has done, who reconciled us. If I asked you, what does reconciliation mean? The average churchgoer would go, I don't know. That's okay. I don't think it's the church person's fault as much as it is the preacher. Because the preachers are the one that complicate God's word or don't preach. They can preach anything but God's word. It means this, made friends. Reconciliation means that through Christ, you are made friends with God. Guess what? Abraham was a friend of God, wasn't he? Through Christ, you are as much a friend of God as Abraham was. God is not your enemy. He is your friend. He has made us friends through what Jesus did, verse 18. And then notice one thing. He's given us a ministry. The ministry is that of reconciliation. So what is your ministry as a follower of Jesus? You've been given the ministry of reconciliation. What does reconciliation mean? Made friends. Guess what? You're to make friends of people for God. It's up to you. And the name for that, he's going to say, is this. Look at, namely that God was in Christ, making friends with the world to himself. How did he do that? He didn't count their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the ministry, the word of making friends. This is where I want to go, verse 20. We are ambassadors for Christ. What do you have in common with Cyrus Vance? What do you have in common with Jim Baker? What do you have in common with John Kerry? Believe it or not. What do you have in common with Rex Tillerson? You're ambassadors. What does an ambassador do? You represent the president. In this case, you represent the Father who is making friends with the world through his Son. You represent Jesus and the Father. What's your representation to do? Make friends. So, how is your ambassadorship? Let me tell you a story. We celebrate communion. This is all about communion. He teases out the fact that Christ, through what he did, represented God and made friends with the world, not counting their trespasses. How are you as an ambassador of Christ? Do they see Jesus Christ in how you represent him? Let me tell you a problem. I've told you a little bit. Friday we took a girl who was Bosnian to the airport. She is Muslim. Alma. Her experience up to the point of what she faced with fundamentalist Christians was very negative. We've had a war on terror for how many years, everybody? American foreign policy has caused Christians not to represent Jesus very well. Last night they cut off people's heads. They mowed people down. It is tough being an ambassador when we're under danger, but Jesus was God's ambassador around crazy people who killed him. And her experience was on the campus of the college where she met my daughter, very negative toward Christians who were hostile to her or unkind. How is that for ambassadorship? Making friends. God was in Christ making friends with a hostile world. Sandy and I didn't know what to do. Do we just preach the gospel? She had heard that from some of those fundamentalist types. And they weren't doing a good job because when we got her, she was further off from God and Christianity than she was before. What those fundamentalists didn't realize is they had failed as ambassadors of Christ. First of all, I'm not saying I'm doing too well. I'm afraid our church could become a target. You can go across a bridge now and become a target, but you have to treat each individual as someone who needs the Lord. And I want to show you Christ's attitude. So if I asked you this, if we are ambassadors representing Christ, making friends, how was Jesus? How did Jesus act? If you're his ambassador, you represent him. You set forth how he is to others. Jesus was, God was in Christ making friends. Jesus represented the Father. You represent Jesus. So how was Jesus? How did he act? Well, hold your finger here. Here is a parable that Jesus often spoke, and many like this parable, in Luke 18, starting at verse 9. Luke 18, here's how Jesus was. We're studying Luke on Sunday mornings, aren't we? We're not here yet, but let's go forward just a little bit. And Jesus was telling this parable, representing the Father, to certain ones who trusted in themselves. 18:9. Certain ones who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. If that isn't fundamentalist Christianity, I don't know what is. Now, anybody visiting, we believe in the fundamentals of the faith. But I reject the culture of fundamentalism because they view others, sinners, with contempt. Do we not? If Jesus sat in this church, you would get Terry and say, Terry, there's an Arab-looking gentleman that looks quite dangerous sitting in the back. He wasn't a white cracker honky. He was olive-skinned, had a beard, wore a turban, and you'd be frightened of him. You'd call Terry. And Terry, he's a brave guy. I've never seen him back down. And I'm thankful that he's here, and I'm a hypocrite, but we need to be careful how we represent Christ. We need to be careful how we represent Christ. it says here that Jesus was talking to people who viewed others with contempt. How do you view sinners? How do you view sinners? With contempt? I know that fundamentalists do. I know when they go to Liberty University, the whole university is like that. Fundamentalists. Jesus gave this illustration to tell you how he wants you not to be this way. He says this in verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray. One a Pharisee. Now you all know, if you've been here long enough, you now know what a Pharisee was. The word Pharisee means separated ones. They were so good that they wouldn't touch others for fear that they would make themselves unclean. You ever been around people like that? I'm like that when I get to the hospital. It weirds me out, all of those germs. Okay? But here is a Pharisee, a self-righteous, uppity fundamentalist. That's what they were. And the ones that irritated Jesus the most, representing the Father as ambassador of the Father, were these people. Because they regarded others with contempt. And then the other person in this is a tax gatherer. Do you want to know who the worst person was in Israel? It wasn't someone who was sexually immoral. Now, they didn't embrace that, but nonetheless, do you know who it was? Tax collectors. Do you know why? They gave Jewish money that should only go to Israel to the Roman Gentile government. The worst thing. And by the way, why did Jews not want their money going? Because most of Judaism had become lovers of money. And the Pharisees hated to pay the taxes because that was their money, money, money. If I were a rich man, Fiddler on the Roof. Remember that? There's a lot of truth to those songs. No, if you were a spiritual person, but instead they want riches. How dare? So here it is. Jesus puts the best man in Israel, at least that's what Israel thought, the Pharisee. And then he put the worst scuzz bucket in Israel, the tax collector who gave Jewish money. Worst. Oh, and you know what's interesting? Who wrote the first gospel? Matthew. Do you know what he was? Isn't that funny? The God's grace. Let the tax collector do the first gospel. And it says this, the Pharisee stood praying to himself. Now, how did Jesus know their heart? Jesus knows what we're thinking. God, I thank you. I'm not like those other people. Swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even in the pit of being like that tax collector. I thank you, Lord. Isn't that like Christian fundamentalism? They sit there in their suits and ties and they think how good they are and they pray for God's destruction of San Francisco. And here is Jesus telling this story of what disgusts him the most is the ambassador of God. And he says this, I fast twice a week. I go to church Sunday morning, Wednesday night, and I sing in choir. Oh, I'm so good. I pay 10%. Let me give you the fraud. If any preacher tells you you owe 10%, they don't even know the Bible. There is no such thing. In the new covenant. That's old Moses yesterday. Give what you want if you want to give. But look at verse 13. Jesus is saying he wants us to be like this. But the worst person in Israel, the tax collector, wouldn't even approach the altar. He stood far away, unwilling to lift up his eyes. Here's how Pharisees prayed. Lord, I thank you. And they put their eyes up to heaven because they were worthy of it. And they stood out in the street corner saying, Lord, I thank you, how wonderful I am, no wonder. This is what Jesus found completely disgusting. But the tax collector wouldn't even lift up his head, was beating his breast, and all he kept saying was, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Look what Jesus says in verse 14. I tell you, this tax collector went down to his house, declared righteous, reconciled, justified, rather than the other. Now, wait a second. The other was, gave his tithe, was a fundamentalist, kept the rules, was persnickety about everything, and God never, it didn't matter to a hill of beans. He said this, I tell you this, that the tax collector went down to his house justified, declared righteous, and the Pharisee fundamentalist did not. And here's what Jesus said. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. Now, what does that mean? How do you practically apply that, Pastor Dave? It means this. You're an ambassador for Jesus Christ. This is what we celebrate. He represented God to us. We now represent the Son who represented the Father. You see a sinner? Or what you think is a sinner? We can't get uppity. We are to be making friends of the worst. You think of the worst that you know? You, as an ambassador of Jesus, you better... We have the ministry of what? Reconciliation. And reconciliation is simply meaning we make friends. Next time you see someone who's sexually immoral, someone who's from jail, someone who is whatever you consider to be nasty, you know what Jesus would want us to do? Represent Jesus and make them friends because he's given us. This is what we celebrate. Are people therefore attracted to Jesus by how we represent him? I got to be honest with you. I've grown up as a Christian since I was a wee widow kid. And at 29, it's been a long time. Jack Benny was 39, I've stayed at 29. And I'll be honest with you. Most of the Christianity that I've seen, and I've seen a lot, stinks. They're seeing Jesus through you representing him. How are we all doing? I often fail. That's why I don't like people to know my profession. Every once in a while I'll forget this. And then something will happen. I'm going to have to really watch my P's and Q's with my mom in this place. I got to represent Jesus. Boy, that's going to be tough. That's what we've got to do, is remember we represent Jesus. And when we celebrate His death, Paul in 2 Corinthians ties this into a ministry of making friends. Be good to sinners. Jesus loved sinners. Do you know who Jesus didn't like? Fundamentalists. Boy, that ought to tell you something. Next time you see a sinner, be kind. And that's representing Jesus as a representative of the Father. And I'll tell you something, I would give the church an F minus or a zero. Self-righteous bunch of hypocrites. So the only thing we can do, how can we make this better? The only thing we can do is at Grace Bible Church, we can try our best to make friends with sinners and dislike what Jesus disliked as His representative. And what did Jesus really dislike? Pharisaical